Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. And this evening we're going to give attention to verse 14. Proverbs 17, looking at verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Conflict is an ever-present aspect of the evil world in which you and I are living. Even the world is tired of war and of fighting and of bickering and of arguing. Individual conflicts and group strife is everywhere in the world, and no one is free from it. There is one factor that becomes abundantly plain from the history of fighting and war in this world. And yet, because of the hardness of men's hearts and because of the blindness of our eyes, too often we need the plain and obvious truths reiterated to us, taught to us, said over and over again. And God's Word lists for us one very evident fact that men seem never to learn about warring and fighting. And that is that it's easier to avoid strife than it is to end it when it has begun. It's far easier to avoid a fight than it is to stop the fight once it is started. Our text in verse 14 likens conflict or strife to the release of waters that have been dammed up. Once they're released, there is no control over them. There is a great reservoir of evil in the heart of every man. And it's dammed up, in a sense, by certain restraints that God has placed upon it. But once punctured the restraining wall of a man's heart by strife, and the brackish waters of sin will run wildly about, destroying all within its grasp without control. The passions of men are uncontrollable. And regardless of the theories that governments like to invent that you can have a limited war, once you set the passions of men on fire with fighting, there is no controlling what will happen. And war is always a hellish thing. And fighting among people is always a desperate thing. There is always some evil and carnality involved with the most holy man in his conflicts. There's no such thing as a restrained conflict. War can't be controlled. Mischief of anger is boundless. Perhaps strife begins with only a little word or even a look. It can be a very small thing at the start. It can be, as it were, just a little pinhole in the damming up of the sins within man's heart. Just a little prick, just one little exit through which a few drops of anger can come. And yet, once there's an opening started, the breach will be widened until the flow is greater and uncontrollable. Wars that have begun centuries ago are still being fought and still cannot be controlled. One of the greatest conflicts going on today and one of the greatest troubles in the world was started 4,000 years ago by two ladies who had a quarrel. And that was Sarah and Hagar. They couldn't get along in the family. Regardless of which one really started the fight, and I'm not too sure which one it was, their animosity was passed on to their little boys, to Ishmael and to Isaac. And Ishmael and Isaac grew to be older, and they had a little clan, a little family, and then a clan, and then a nation. And today the war between the Jews and the Arab nations is uncontrollable. And the passions of hatred are not a little thing, but run deep and centuries old. And blood of thousands has been shed in our days because of a little quarrel that started between a few people. Merely a family feud years ago. But each child was the father of a nation. And once the conflict began, there was no ending to it. There are many who claim that they despise war. And yet the very people who say that they despise war by their little bickerings often begin those very wars that they say they hate. Often women proclaim an aversion to bloodshed And yet it's often the petty quarrels of women that burst the dike of anger in the human heart. Again in the Old Testament, we read of Rachel and Leah, who had a small conflict within the family. Two women who had an animosity against each other. And their sons reflected it in angry and contemptuous words to one another. They could not speak peaceably among themselves. Their children could not speak peaceably to each other. And soon the angry words grew into angry plans. And soon there were plans for murder laid against Joseph, the son of Rachel. The small flow of words and strife were about to shed blood, and it was only God's sovereign providence that intervened and prevented it. Seldom, then, is the first word of a quarrel the last one, because strife is as when one letteth out water, it can't be stopped. It cannot be controlled. Children ought to learn this lesson, that when you get into a quarrel on the playground, it seldom ends immediately. Nor will a fist fight end the battle, but it provides deep and abiding hatred and anger. It makes men enemies. Every response of strife widens the breach until there's open war. Christians should learn that disputes are not ended, but by the grace of God. Wars once begun, fights once entered into, continue on and on and on. Begin an argument with another Christian, and the implications snowball. It can begin by just a personal disagreement, and then soon your friends will be taking sides with one person or the other. And then there will be heated words that will grow into carnal competition. There's no end to the implications in a church between the battle that goes on between Christians. There's no end to the damage that can be done to the movement of God by a little strife. It is as when one lets out water that grows in intensity and cannot be stopped. The beginning of strife is almost never ended, and always only by the grace of God. Small disagreements become wide divisions. You remember the small disagreement that Paul and Barnabas had. They began to disagree over whether John Mark ought to attend them on their second missionary journey. And the contention grew in intensity until they could no longer work together in the gospel ministry. Personal differences grow into party strife. Skirmishes grow into whole wars. And the strife grows into proportion, as we read through the ages, until we're now at the point where atomic weapons are going to be employed. The lesson of the illustration in verse 14 is that we should avoid strife. Therefore, since the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Don't get into fights because they can't be ended. Don't get into conflicts because they're going to grow. Leave off fighting before you meddle with it. I marvel at Christians in our day who always cry for our own government to respond belligerently to the affronts of any other nation, to respond with force at anything which is done, whether it be a real transgression against our country or an imagined one. There are always Christians who are ready to cry that we ought to go to war, that we ought to respond with power and force. Well, once a war is begun, there's no end to the slaughter. But contention not meddled with can keep the hell that's in men's breasts contained and dammed up. I'm not a pacifist, but wisdom demands restraint. And the scriptures themselves say, therefore, leave off contention before you begin to meddle with it. For once you begin to meddle, there is no end to the length to which your war will go. In Genesis chapter 4, we read of Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And lest someone should kill Cain in return, God said that if anyone would touch Cain, there would be sevenfold vengeance upon that man for the life of Cain. And it wasn't long before hearing of this kind of vengeance, wicked men were saying, as Lamech bragged to his wives, if Cain will be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech will be avenged 70 and sevenfold. You touch one person in my clan and I'll kill 77 in yours. And so the snowballing effect of the anger and hatred in the hearts of men. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3 for a moment. We find that the Word of God has a view of man that's directly opposite to the view of the world. In Proverbs 20 and verse 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling in strife. It's an honor to a man to cease from strife, not to constantly get more embroiled in it, but to cut it off before it gets out of hand. Well, I'd like to return more to the individual and to the church than to nations. Look at Proverbs 19 and verse 11. Again, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's the glory of a man to pass by a transgression against himself, to overlook a real injury done to himself. That's the glory of a man. To be able to so subdue the carnal passions within his heart that when he is really offended, he will pass by and not respond in kind. It was the glory of Abraham to ignore the obstinate provocation of Lot's herdmen and to say, now listen, nephew Lot, you go wherever you want to and I'll turn the other way. You get out in the valleys, I'll go up in the mountains. Or if you take the mountains, I'll go down in the valley. He turned away from a situation of conflict. It was the glory of Jesus Christ when he was reviled not to revile again. It was the glory of Moses to meekly ignore the slander that was brought against his wife by Miriam and Aaron. It was the glory of David to turn away from strife with Saul. And not only turning away from strife with a godly man, but turning away from strife with an ungodly. It was the glory of David when Abigail came to him and urged him not to go to war against Nabal that he listened to her. And he turned away from the strife before it ever started. The text says to pass over, to ignore, to forgive genuine transgressions. And that requires God's grace in the heart. But with all of the war and strife that we have today, we desperately need that grace in our generation. There are enough battles to fight without setting new ones in our day. Leave off contention before it be meddled with, is the exhortation of the scripture. And especially don't meddle with somebody else's battles. Be slow to take sides when you see people fighting. Be far better not even to inquire as to what the cause of the trouble is, or you're liable to get embroiled with the people. Turn your ears away from the complaints of people against others. And if you have to listen to them, then close your lips before you start taking sides. Discipline yourself to avoid getting into the battles of those who are even friends. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26 for a moment. And notice another text. See, you see Solomon, once again, line upon line, precept upon precept, chapter after chapter, hitting the same emphasis to avoid strife. Proverbs 26 and verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You grab a strange dog by the ears and see what happens. And that's what it's like to get into somebody else's fight, to get into somebody else's problem. We read in 1 Kings chapter 22 that Jehoshaphat was very friendly with Ahab. And once Jehoshaphat went to Samaria to visit Ahab, and Ahab said, I've got a fight with the king of Syria north of here. Why don't you come and join me in the fight? And Jehoshaphat was quick to join in with his friend, Ahab. He joined in the fight, but he was asking for trouble, and he got it. He found on the day of battle that he had a mad dog by the ears, and it turned on him, and he was in deep trouble. He cried out to God as he was fleeing from the whole of the Syrian army pursuing him, almost to the man. He cried out, and God delivered him. But he was the fool who passed by and meddled in strife that didn't belong to him, and he got in trouble. Stay out of petty feuds. Parents, you ought to learn to stay out of the petty feuds that your children have with other children. When your children have difficulties with other children in the neighborhood, not to get involved in it. Pass by those feuds. When you find, husbands, that your wives are getting into petty feuds with other women in the church, you pass by and don't you get into them. Do all you can to put an end to it. And the same should apply to the wives, from getting into the troubles and the embroiled battle that husbands sometimes have. Refuse to don armor for another man's squabble. Refuse to enter into even the personal fights of those who are friends. cut off the trouble before it begins. Our text says, therefore, leave off contention before it even be meddled with. Well, if we're to cut off trouble before it begins, the question has to be asked, does this mean that a Christian must extricate himself from all conflict? Does a Christian get out of all fighting altogether? And that's the rub. Our carnal spirits would just love to fight at the drop of a hat. Every time a chip is knocked off of our shoulder, we just love to fight with the carnal inward man. But once turn away from that, and then Satan tries to get our carnal man to withdraw and to retire from every battle that exists, and to sit down and say, I'm not going to fight, I don't care what the issues are. And then the tendency is to even leave the fight that Christ intended us to be in. If the Bible makes one thing plain, it makes it plain that a Christian is meant to be in a battle all the days that he's on the face of this earth. We are soldiers in a conflict. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you should not get entangled in the affairs of this world. Our text then would be saying, don't get entangled in the petty battles of this world so that you can give yourself to the battle in which Jesus Christ has called you to fight. The same Jesus Christ, who would not trade curses with a mob, also pronounced curses upon the Pharisees. The same Moses, who would not dispute with Aaron over his wife, rebuked him openly because of his idolatry. You've got a battle on your hands, Christian, and it will involve making enemies of men. The person in this world who doesn't have any enemies and who isn't battling with anyone hasn't said much or hasn't done much. And I'm sure if you are standing for Christ and living a godly life and testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you have some enemies. Even if it grieves your heart and you'd like to be friends with the people, I'm sure you've got some enemies. Begin to stand for godliness and truth and you'll have plenty of foes. You'll have a very real conflict with the forces of Satan, perhaps at work, perhaps at school, perhaps in your neighborhood, perhaps in your very family. Jesus said to Christians, in the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have a battle on your hands all the days of your life in this world. If the world has hated me, Jesus said, it's going to hate you. You're going to have enemies of men. There's no avoiding strife in this world. Take a stand that the scriptures are the word of God and liberalism will laugh at you in school. Take a stand on sound doctrine and you'll find that you'll be in conflict over what the law of God says, over what righteousness is. You'll find yourself in conflict over such issues as what the Sabbath day is, what purity is according to the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. You'll find yourself in conflict not only with people in the world, but with people in the church. And that's what really grieves a Christian, when he finds himself at odds and in strife with even those who are believers. And yet there is, in the Church of Christ, constant war over issues of truth. Not only with the world, but with believers. When a seemingly small matter of strife divides believers, it also grows in implications, just like the world's battles do. When you let out the water in the church, it flows with the same force that it does in the world. And it grows in its implications and touches every area of the church's life. If you ask the question, what does it mean to believe on Jesus Christ, and you answer carefully, you'll find yourself in conflict with others who are Christians and evangelical Christians. And there's no end to the changes on the landscape by the waters of conflict. It's a solemn truth that the Lord's servants do not have peace in this world. But what is then the teaching of Proverbs 17 and verse 14? The teaching is this, that whether the fight be too basic to avoid or too petty to begin, once it's begun, there is no end to that conflict in this life. Once you enter into a battle in this world, you'll find that that battle will not end. Whether it's a battle you should be in or one that you should have avoided in the first place. Don't look for your battles to end in this world, Christian. Once begun, the tide of conflict rises ever higher. It usually does not abate but by the grace of God. Words and actions will increase in ferocity, even if it's a battle in which you should be engaged. It's likely to increase in intensity. New fronts of battle will open up every year. If it began with a few people disagreeing on doctrine, it will grow into parties arguing over doctrine, even if you must argue about truth. It will be inflamed until it touches almost every issue in the church and the organizations which are standing for the truth of Christ. If you attack shallow evangelism today, then you'll find that you've picked a fight with quite a few people. You've picked a fight with schools. You've picked a fight with mission boards. You've picked a fight with evangelical organizations of every stripe. You've picked a fight with other churches. You've picked a fight with individuals. You've picked a fight with publishing houses. You've picked a fight with Sunday school programs and publications of every sort. And just like the last war in this world was spread across the face of the globe, it seems there is this inundation when there's the letting out of water. In the church as well as out of the church. Well, doesn't our text say that we should avoid conflict? Therefore, leave off contention before it's meddled with? Doesn't this mean then that the Christian ought to stay out of all battles? Doesn't this mean that peace is of greater worth than even battles over doctrine? Not at all. Certainly that can't be the teaching of the text. For the same God that wrote this text, and this is his word, wrote other texts of the scripture. We are exhorted, for instance, in Jude chapter 3, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I want you who are believers to be fighting for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I want you to pay any cost that's necessary to war for the truth for which Jesus Christ died. When we send a missionary to the Muslims in other countries, there's no end to the conflict involved. When they teach somebody about the way of Jesus Christ and the way of salvation in him, it touches every area of the man's life, it touches his relationship with his family, it touches every area of his society. And it causes conflict in the normal everyday routine of the man. It causes conflict with every friend that he ever knew. It causes conflict with every relative. And it embroils our missionary in these wars. And it's our missionary who started them in the first place by preaching the truth. But we wouldn't have them draw back for a moment. We are to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And the same thing is true about conflicts among Christians. We're glad that William Carey, years ago, got into a fight with the people of who were really Christians in his day, who didn't believe in foreign missions. We're glad that there was conflict enough that the people were finally convinced to send out missionaries to India and to other places on the face of the globe. And it's a shame that there are still implications of that battle that are continuing in the Church of Christ today, and there are. There's still a battle over the same issues that were raised back in Carey's day. But thank God they were raised. And thank God he stood for the truth that's clearly preached in Scripture. And thank God there were some Christians who were willing to be embroiled in a fight over this very basic issue of evangelizing the world for Jesus Christ. Now, we can't draw back from the battles. Once we put our hand to the plow, we must continue, though we hit ever so many rocks in our plowing. The text, however, is telling us this, that we dare not rush into any fight. For the beginning of strife, even strife that's for the truth, is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it started. Leave off contention that isn't worth the strife. Seeing that there's going to be increased turmoil over the issues that are being raised. Seeing that there's going to be irrepressible continuation of battle once it's begun. Be sure that the fight is worthwhile. Be sure that the issues are basic enough and important enough to spend your life in this fighting. There's some people who would battle over every issue with equal ferocity, thinking that every particular truth and minute point is worthy of spending a life of battle for. There are many battles that are not worth beginning, and that's what our text is implying. There are many battles that you should never get into, Christian. You ought to avoid them. May God, by His Spirit, give us wisdom to discern when we should be contending and when we should be forgiving the transgression and passing by. Don't you find yourself, Christian, up to your ears in conflict? Haven't you had about enough wars to fight? We've stood for the Lord Jesus Christ against every false religion that's in the world. And that's quite a few. We've taken a stand saying that the Scriptures are the Word of God, and that's gotten us embroiled in a fight with so many people who believe that it's just the Word of man and can be denied. We've taken a stand for the doctrines of grace against the sloppy doctrines that suggest that a man can be saved by his own effort. We've taken a stand that true salvation involves experience as well as the mere mouthing of doctrines. So we have our share of conflict. Conflict with Christians as well as conflict with those who are outside the church. And yet may God teach us all that we need to know. And if it will involve more conflict to learn more truth of His Word, may we never stop learning that truth by which the church may be strengthened. Never has the Church of Jesus Christ taken strides forward except when there has been intense conflict. It was so in the days of Luther. It was the same in other days. It was the same in the days of Augustine. And it's the same in our day as well. There's going to be conflict for the church. But may we learn to avoid needless battles. May we learn that whenever any kind of a battle is begun, it's like the letting out of water. It cannot be controlled and will not be stopped up. So that we will hate conflict and seek to avoid all unnecessary conflict. May we never then forget the warning of our text. And may we be so weary of battling for the truth of Christ that we don't have time to fight with one another about needless matters. This is the problem. There is definitely a fight in the world. But those who get used to fighting then begin to bicker about little things. It was after Paul and Barnabas had won a great battle for truth at Jerusalem, on an issue for which they should have been fighting, that they fell to fighting over little things that really didn't matter. Should John Mark go along on the next missionary journey? Neither of them should have been fighting about it. But having been raised to that height of willingness to stand and to fight, then they fell into fighting about a thing that never should have been. And so is the danger for us who stand for the truth and who get into fights, necessarily contending for the faith delivered to the saints. There's a danger of fighting and bickering needlessly. Remember then the warning of the proverb: the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. And again, as we've read in the other texts in Proverbs, the exhortation that when there is a strife, it's the honor of a man to cease from that strife. There is so much conflict in the world that some people have imagined that a person's hell is here on earth, but it isn't so. The conflict that sinners have with God will not end with this world, but continue in the world to come. The trouble with man is that he was born with a heart fighting against God and against His truth. As David clearly pictures in Psalm chapter two, in the second Psalm, chapter 2 of the book of Psalms, the trouble with mankind is that he's born with a heart that's warring. Warring not for God and against Satan, but warring against the Lord and against His Messiah. You were born with such a heart. Have you ever ceased from that strife? I know there are many battles in the world that you have to face, even if you don't stand for the truth of God. For there's conflict for everyone. If you're fighting against God, cease from the strife in this life. Because the conflict that those who fight against God have will last forever, where the stripes of His judgment will be upon them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, war is an unpleasant thing to us, and we despise all of the unpleasantness of fighting and arguing and conflict with men. And the more we learn of Your grace, the more we desire peace. And yet the more we learn of Your grace, the more we find ourselves embroiled in fights, contending for the faith. Oh God, give us grace to leave off all needless contention before we even begin. Give us grace if we're in the midst of strife that's unnecessary to cease from it. But grant unto us spiritual wisdom that we may never forsake our Savior for the sake of peace, so-called. But may we ever contend for the faith delivered to the saints. We ask it in his name. Amen.